Welcome to the Companion Chapel Everyday Bible Study Broadcast. My name is Mike, coming to you from the Great Lakes area of beautiful Ontario, Canada, on this gorgeous Friday, March 22nd, 2024. Coming right up, it is the book of Acts, chapter 28. Don't you dare miss it. We're finishing up the book of Acts. What an epic book, man. It was monumental, man. I hope you enjoyed it. I certainly enjoyed bringing it to you. So let's do chapter 28 here. We're doing a little wrap-up on the book of Acts, chapter 28, verse 1. And when they were escaped, they knew that the island was called Melita. Okay, this is after the shipwreck. And there's, think about what it takes on our journey back to a place of peace beyond our present comprehension. This is the lesson being taught. Why would there be like almost three solid chapters, basically? Two solid chapters about Paul's journey back to Rome. God promised Paul, he says, you're going to make it back to Rome. So Paul had to have faith. And that's what we're talking about here, having faith to God's promises. The only way to reinforce faith is through affliction. God knows how much affliction each of us needs to humble for the eternity. And look at this, is Paul. He wrote 14 books in the Bible. He didn't write them. It's divine revelation, not man's imagination. He penned it. So look at this guy, Paul, what he went through just to get back to Rome. So as we're going to read in the last verses of chapter 28, to serve God. It takes a lot. It's no cakewalk. I don't know what people think. A lot of people will, you know, comment or email and say, listen, man, I turned to Jesus Christ and things got worse. That's right. That's what you should expect. It's not going to be a cakewalk. Nowhere in the Bible does it say, you are turned to God now and it's going to be a cakewalk, because you have to think about people's spirits. That's their intellect of their soul. That's their personalities. The closer you are to God and back to a place of peace beyond our present comprehension, and society's going like this. It's the moral decay of society. We're watching it. You know, morals is the benchmark for human values and human virtue. And the moral decay of society, people's morals go down. There's a huge disconnect here now. Their spirit will not like your spirit. So don't get upset when it happens. Just remember to pray for everybody. Pray for the whole human family. And just think what's going on inside of that person, the inner void, the unrest, the uneasiness. And we pray for everybody. Now, here's Paul. Okay, they got the shipwreck. We went through all those nautical terms yesterday. Paint a picture in your mind of, listen, these guys barely made it. You know, you got to swim for it. That's a big deal. During a storm that smashed up a ship that would carry 276 people or something like that. That's a big deal. And just always have faith in God. So they're on this island called Melita, and the barbarous people, they're not barbarians like we would think from Hollywood. This is just a term back then that Greek people said, hey, you don't speak Greek? Well, then you're a barbarian. That's all there is to it. But you know, Paul could communicate with just about anybody. And here we have it. They showed us no little kindness. Some of the double negatives here in the translation, just they were very kind to us, the people. Like, we just showed up on their island, on their turf. And this could have been like, so opposite. But here's divine intervention here. For they kindled a fire and received every one of us because of the present rain. And it was freezing cold and raining. Now you think about what would it be like this? You know, people with their houses, with their cameras and with their security systems. And we have people out in the cold right now, out in the cold and rain. In Canada, there's over 1 million homeless people. And that's crazy. We have the highest percentage per capita, because we don't, like, United States can say they have 1 million homeless, like hard homeless. I mean, hitting the street in a tent. But they have like 340 million people or something. Canada has like 30 million. Huge homeless problem up here. What do you think? Do you think they're getting received by anybody? No, there's a huge disconnect between the rich and the poor, between people with attitudes of obscene entitlement fueled by ruthless unadulterated greed, and they sit on their moral high horse and point at these homeless people. Well, we can't afford the rents anymore. That's what was going on. So anyways, just not to get too far off topic here, this is, we should think about this. Luke chapter 10, who is your neighbor? Who is your neighbor? The guy that walked by, just, yeah, I don't see nothing here. This guy just got foobarred. He just got his, you know, he's dying. I don't see nothing here. Two guys walk past, and then the third one helps him out. These are helping people. We're all part of the human family. They started a fire. It was raining. It was cold. Paul gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, and there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. Like, listen to this. Okay, let's just put this first verse or first sentence. Paul gathered a bundle of sticks. He wasn't sitting back complaining, going, I'm freezing cold. He was a can-do type guy. He was out there gathering wood too. You know, he could have just sat back like a spoiled tourist. No, he was out there. And of all things, a viper, a snake. He gets bitten by a snake. And when the barbarians, that's the locals, saw the venomous beast hang off his hand, just a snake, right? Snakes like to hang out in wood. There's wood piles. They said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer whom they have escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffers not to live. They're talking about, hey, instant karma. You know, he's the guy's a murderer. The sea didn't kill him, well, the snake's going to kill him. Well, watch what happens. Paul just shakes it off, felt no harm, right? Goes back into the fire. I wonder if they ate it or God made like a belt or a wallet out of it. Anyways, there it is. No harm, howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen dead suddenly. These locals knew this snake was something. But after they looked a great while, they saw no harm come to him. They changed their minds and said he was a god. Said, this, dude, if that snake would have bit one of us, we're in big trouble, right? This got bit on the hand. It's a divine intervention. God executes performances far beyond our current understanding of physics. He set an example for this. Now watch what happens here. In the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius. Did I skip a verse? No. Okay. Who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. Did they say, hey, see that old hammock out there? Yeah, make friends with that. Okay, you guys make a lean over there. Try not to bug us. We won't bug you. I know you're shipwrecked. No, main house. They took them in. And Paul was like the guy, right? And he was an inmate. This is something. Main house, treated really good. Like, who is your neighbor? You know, what do you think about other people in the human family? I know rich people, like money rich. They're spiritually dead inside. Just pointing fingers at others. Why can't they be like me with all my stuff and things? Why should we help them? Well, there you go. You can go play somewhere else when you die because, you know, the love of Christ is not in your heart. Anyways, these people were very courteous, and it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick with a fever of a bloody flux, that's dysentery, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. Divine intervention. So when this was done, others also had diseases. And I'll break up that word disease, dis-ease, okay? Dis-ease. And you can study that in the original language. And in the island came and were healed. And people have spiritual diseases now. They're spiritually dead. They're spiritually broken side. And the only one that can feel that spirit is the only one that is fulfilling is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Allowing the you have to submit with an unquestioned obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have to repent and acknowledge that only Jesus Christ can forgive you for your sins at a judicial level that will allow you judicial clearance back into the kingdom of heaven. That's when he will pay attention to you. Remember Proverbs chapter 28:7. If you turn your ear away from hearing God's laws, God's commandments, even your prayers are an abomination to God. Why should he listen to you? Some people are like, well, some things in here I like, some I don't like, but I still pray. You know what God thinks of those prayers? An abomination. Submit with an unquestioned obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will heal you from the inside out. Don't worry about your flesh body. It's going back in the dirt anyway. It's where you go when you die for an eternity. That's what we have to think about. There's nothing more important than where you go when you die. Who also honored us with many honors. They treated us good, and when we departed, they laded us with such things that were necessary. They hooked them up for the trip. This didn't say, hey, man, the weather's cleared up. You guys get out of here. No, they hooked them up, man. This is really how people are supposed to treat people. Then after 3 months, we departed in the ship of Alexandria, which was wintered in the isle, whose sign was Castor and Pollux. Why do we care what was written on the side of the boat? Because this just talks about what was going on here. Heathenism. This is Castor and Pollux is like the sons of Zeus. And always remember, mythology is just the perversion of ancient truth. Okay, people will make it their gods, their religion. And whatever's behind that religion is ideologies. That's what people say to me today. They go, listen, we don't have an idol in our house. We don't have a thing made of wood or stone or nothing. The idol is looking you right back in the mirror. It's the ideologies behind that idol that you follow. That's idolatry. So here we have Castor, who cares? Sons of Zeus, whoopee-doo. That adds up to absolutely nothing. But that's written on the side of the boat, or ship, or don't get me started. And the landing at Syracuse, we tarried there 3 days. And from thence we fetched a compass and came to Regium. This is kind of some It just means we're making tracks through the ocean, okay? That's all that means. And after, in the right direction. And after one day, the south wind blew, and we came to the next day, Pluto, okay? So there we go. We're rocking up and down the coast here, and is it a ship or a boat? Like, if it's got a sail, is that a tall ship or tall boat? Okay, it's one of them. And we found brethren, and we're desired to tarry with them 7 days. That's great. We got to hang out with other people of the many member body of Christ, of the family Israel, that we're going to learn about when we do the book of Acts. Not next, we're doing Habakkuk and then the book of Acts, or book of Romans. And so they didn't call themselves Christians. Watch this. They did not call themselves that. It's the family Israel, God's spiritual family that we adopt ourselves back into again by submitting with an unquestioned obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ and admitting. That means to be brutally honest with yourself. Yeah, there is things inside me that are not conducive to a place of peace beyond our present comprehension. And we didn't deserve this chance. But Jesus Christ gave us another chance. He laid down his life for your life and paid a price that none of us could pay so that God could reconcile us through Lord Jesus Christ so we could get back in harmony with the universe and back in harmony with God so we can get on with the affairs of time, cohabitating with our Father who art in heaven in his circuits of time. Sacred is thy name. Yahweh is thy name. Whose kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven through Yeshua Messiah, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, most precious in the universe, irreplaceable. We found brethren there who worship the same. That means we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Unadulterated faith and belief so we can have relief from this ridiculous construct that mankind has made, where nothing matters but everything continues. 7 days, spiritual complete. We're heading towards Rome. And from thence, when the brother heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appii. Yeah, they made tracks, man. Don't forget, they're hoofing it, right? Walking to three taverns, whom Paul saw. He thanked God and took up courage. Why would Paul think, oh, glad I found this tavern. I hope we get some cheap draft beer here. No, it's because they're 30 miles away from Rome. Finally. Took years. Look at the journey. Excuse me. Look at the journey that Paul is taking, patience and trust. The journey, it's been years since Acts 23:11. Paul, you're going to Rome. Like, can you imagine what Paul was thinking? I've been in jail for years, shipwrecked, stripes. Like the book of Corinthians really describes it. He says how many times he took those stripes. And compare our journey back to the promised land of God's paradise. What do you got to complain about? It's time to take inventory with what's inside of you. And be brutally honest with yourself. And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain. They finally made it. There we go. Just like God promised Paul, the captain of the guard. But Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with the soldier that kept him. All right, so he's still in like kind of a solitary confinement for a little bit here because they don't know what's going on. Where's his paperwork and stuff like that? Like he's not charged with anything. So he's like, that'd be an odd inmate on the chain gang. Where's his paperwork? Well, we better hold on to him because we don't know what's going on, okay? So that's why he was in like a solitary confinement for a couple days. And at 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. And when they were come together, he said unto them, so this is the churchy church that's already made it to Rome. And guess what? They're still there today. We know who they are. Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people, no charges against me or customs of your fathers. Like you have nothing on me. But I was delivered a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. I had to, because you guys wanted to kill me up in Jerusalem. Now I'm here, the same people, hostile to the Lord Jesus Christ and his followers, who can't really identify. You can't say these people calling themselves Jews. And this goes on in the Quran too, Jews and Christians. We're going to straighten this up in a special side study lesson about Jews and Christians. If these people want to call themselves Jews, they'd say, we are of Brother Judah. We are the sons of Judah if they want to use genealogy. But if they say, oh, well, we come from the land of Judea, which is where Israel is now since 1948, that area there, then they can say, okay, that's geographically. But these Jews in the clergy were hostile to the Lord Jesus Christ and his followers, trying to kill everybody that went against them because they had a system of things that was making the money and they didn't want it to be changed. And this, there's a huge thread in the Bible. Who they are goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 3:15. Satan, I will put enmity between your seed and the seed of the woman. Who is the seed of the woman? From umbilical cord to umbilical cord, our Lord Jesus Christ. from Mary through that seed line that we read about in Luke chapter 1. And who's the other seed line? Well, we know. They started calling off Kenites, then with Rechabites, and then they were Nethinim from Ezra and Nehemiah. We're like, you guys aren't Jews, okay? You're not of the posterity of Brother Judah. You can't use that genealogy. We're not going to allow you. We're going to call you Nethinim. That means given to service. Not Nephilim, Nethinim. Read it carefully three times in the book of Ezra and Nehemiah. Where's all the Levitical priests and who the are these guys? They work their way into the church. That's what Satan attacks. He attacks the church. That's what it says throughout the Bible. Satan defiled the sanctuary. He's still doing it today. Anyways, let's carry on here. That's who we're talking to. Men and brethren, okay, so Paul doesn't hide. He right away, listen, these are the guys that put me here. The churchy church is bringing up these charges against me. They don't have any charges, it's accusations. So Paul hides from nothing. Paul's Christian reputation means everything to him, obviously. So there he is. Took him years to get back there. I forget. I could have calculated it, but I forgot. I forgot to do it, but years. Okay, who, when they had examined me, would have let me go because there was no cause of death in me? The Romans would have, but when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had to accuse my nation. Listen, what he's saying here is, listen, they were going to let me go, but then these guys were going to kill me. Yeah, your churchy church elders up there in Jerusalem were going to kill me. That's why I appealed to Caesar, because I got to get out of here, right? I'm useless if I'm dead, and I'm on a mission from God. I have 14 epistles to write. 20. For this cause, therefore, I have called you to see you and speak with you, because for the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain. The promise of Israel. He didn't say the promise of Christianity, and we're going to start hitting this gently. The way this word Christianity was used in the Bible three times, and the way it's become a pedestrian term with no basis whatsoever. I don't want to offend anybody. Let's just let the Bible speak for itself. Did Paul say, the hope of Christianity I am bound? He said, for the hope of Israel. Go to Romans chapter 9, just flip a few pages. Who are the Israelites? Those that submit with an unquestioned obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ, through the Lord Jesus Christ, to Father who art in heaven. Sacred is his name, Yahweh is his name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, through Yeshua Messiah. He didn't say for the hope of Christianity, for the hope of Israel. We become Israelites. Part of the spiritual family of God. That's what's written in the Bible. That's what he wants. He wants his children back. There's a promise there. It's not just the hope. These promises are written in the councils of eternity, and it's going down thought for thought right in front of us right now. Verse 21. And they said unto him, we neither received letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither of the brethren that came, showed or spake any harm of thee. What are you talking about? There's no paperwork here. We don't even know you, Paul. Like, what are you talking about? But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest as concerning this sect, that's your denomination. We know that everywhere it is spoken against, like we speak against it. We've heard of this, but we haven't heard of you. So these guys are going to say, listen, they're not so violent here. They just don't want to kill him right off the hop. Let's hear about it. Do you see the way that they use different emotions? They'll use all ranges of emotions, from hatred to fake love and I'd say compliance, or there's a better word. There's better words. I just don't know them offhand right now. Anyway, it's this different denomination. Okay, so they appointed him a day. Okay, we'll have a day, and you can, and there came to him unto his lodgings. Okay, we're going to come to you, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God. Hey, man, he's got this Bible down packed, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses, out of the prophets, from morning till evening. He documented everything he said. He could run this Bible chapter by chapter, verse by verse. It's only one book. And these guys, who would be using this book as a random book of quotes, and putting in all their ceremonies, like religious ceremonies, in there to try and make themselves look religious. Paul's just blowing all this out of the water. And some believe the things which were spoken, and some believe not. Why is that? Well, the Bible's going to tell us in a couple of verses. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. Now, some people can't handle it because they have deeply ingrained habits of thought. They can never get over something. They can never be wrong, because as soon as they think they're wrong, they think they're being attacked, or it's an argument because of their ego. People think today their preferences determine what's true. They think their feelings trump the truth. They let their feelings compromise their intelligence. Have we seen that on a world stage today? Like, wisdom is the process of finding out your intuitions were wrong, and people love arguing over the love of true wisdom. The human ego blocks out reasoning. We become irrational people, and irrational people cannot be reconciled. God cannot reconcile irrational people, and that's all there is to it. And you can take those irrational, what's behind irrational thought patterns, your ideologies that you have conceived, and you just can't let them go. You can't be wrong. And we pray for these people. This is stubborn people, stubborn, egotistical people, overfed, unconcerned. We pray for them. So they talked, and when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. At least they're talking about things and thinking about things. At least they're having a dialogue, and they're not sitting, you know, getting violent about it. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. And after that, Paul had spoken one word. Well, spake the Holy Spirit by Jesus, that's Isaiah. You would think the translators could come together and just agree how to spell it, but the prophets unto her. Okay, this is what Isaiah said, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and not perceive. That's because your ego is blocking out your reasoning. That's why. For the heart of the people is waxed gross. That means their heart's not open. It's not a circumcised heart. Our ears aren't circumcised. They're not open to the love of Christ to come in. The truth, and the truth will set you free, is the author of eternal salvation. And their ears are dull of hearing because they don't want to hear it. They would rather sit back and mock you and shame you and they insult you with these catchphrases that they have. Have you ever noticed the mainstream media catchphrases? Never have more than 5 words or 10 syllables because they're meant for the easily herded, intellectually weak, obedient. What recently? Pincushions. Seriously. All those catchphrases. Pre-approved major media catchphrases. Their argument never holds up to closer scrutiny. We do have to talk about things and think about things. And it's never an aha moment. It's never pointing fingers at someone. You never get a feeling of empowerment. I told you so. I told you. No, it's about, okay, do you understand now? We have to come together as a human family. There's a central enemy that is against us. But people's eyes and ears, they're closed. To understand with their hearts, they should be converted. I should heal them. Yeah, that's what I want. I want that they should with their eyes hear and with their ears see, hear, and understand with their hearts and should be converted. Because I want my children back, God says, but they can only be reconciled through the Lord Jesus Christ. Be it known, therefore, unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles and that they will hear it. Do you understand? Remember what Paul said. I wish I had that verse offhand. I think it's... Okay, so remember what Paul said to the lead clergy way back in chapter 20. Wherefore, I take you record to this day. I'm telling you people right now. I'm telling you. I am pure from the blood of you, from all men, because I have not shunned to declare unto you the counsel of God. I did my job as best as I could, and that's what God expects from each and every one of us, whatever God-given talent you have. God expects you to use it, and the many-member body of Christ to help glorify, magnify, and broadcast God's saving word, help get the message of Christ's love out there to a hurting world. Unless the devil gets in you with the spirit of stinginess, and you don't support a ministry, you don't help get the word of God out there, and God's watching. He knows what's in your heart, your thoughts, your intents, your actions. Be it known, therefore, unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, because back then he said, hey, they didn't want to hear it. Now it's going out to everybody. It's not just you people that think that you're the chosen people. You were chosen for one thing. You have the word of God, and you're supposed to spread the seeds of truth throughout the world, not change it and commodify it. And that's what they did. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed. And had great reasoning among themselves. Hey, at least they're talking about it. And Paul dwelt there 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came into him. His own hired house. This is one word. It's misthoma. And therefore, Paul must have got bail because misthoma means a rental. Paul's in his own rental here. And what's he doing? Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Well, there you have the book of Acts. I hope you enjoyed that. I certainly enjoyed bringing it to you. If I've helped you, please help me continue with these broadcasts. Go to companionchapel.com, Visa, MasterCard, PayPal. This is a registered nonprofit ministry. And if you send $10 or more, I'll send you one of these beautiful necklace things that you can hang off the mirror of your vehicle or put it with your favorite things, go to companionchapel.com. And it's really important that you email me, companionchapel@gmail.com. And I want you to pay attention to this. This is a big announcement. The book of Habakkuk is going to be next. I was going to do the book of Romans, but there's some things in Romans that refer back to Habakkuk and back and forth. It's all tied together. I'm going to show you those threads. And always remember, there's no such thing as an English Bible. This is a translation. So go back into the manuscripts, through the lexicons, and out from any English version you prefer for your understanding. I want to thank you very much for watching. Have yourself the greatest day, and bye for now.